ask of you one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. So arise, arise, arise. God, arise in the midst of your people as we lift you up to build a throne with our praise. Let's do that. Sing.
We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises. We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises.
Come on.
We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises.
Yeah.
We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises.
We lift.
We lift you up. We lift you up.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing.
Praise God, all of God's children singing, shouting, declaring that God reigns. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you this wonderful evening, this day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. It is the first day of the eighth month a month of new beginnings. I believe that God is going to reveal new things to us this month. In one sense, it is the beginning of a new set of seasons, but in another sense, it is an end. It's the beginning and the end at the same time. You say, why do you say that? Because the beginning of next month is September, it's Rosh Hashanah, it is the new year. So, in one sense, it's a new beginning, or it's the ending of something for the beginning of something. And I believe that God is bringing us to a place of divine fulfillment. He has a plan for us. And I am certain of something, that God is not going to be cheated out of His purpose. The God who made a donkey to speak is going to manifest what He says He wants to do, and nothing is going to stop it. One of the last statements the Lord made as the religious leaders of the day tried to resist Him, they said, tell these people to stop speaking and praising. Because the people were saying, Hosanna. He said, if they stop, even the rocks will cry out. Nothing is going to stop this. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to stop what God wants to do. At the fullness of time, God does the God thing. Amen? One way or the other, whether it is by natural birth or by C-section, this baby is coming out. The child, there's going to be a birthday. One way or the other, it's coming out. And so shall it be that the church of Jesus Christ will be the glorious church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Spot free, blemish free, wrinkle free. Because it's coming for a young, beautiful bride. Yes. Thank you, Father. Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for this very special moment that we can embrace the integrity of your word and in humility align ourselves to it. Not by our sight, not by anything that we have, but by total reliance on you. What you said, you will do. We humbly come to you, and we'll lay ourselves at your feet, and we say, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and we are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will while we are waiting, yielded, and still. Be God, we ask. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Last Sunday morning, I brought a word to us about the God economy. Shared with us how God does what he does and how he brings us to that place where we are truly fulfilled in his divine purposes. How God operates and how we need to align with that. And it was in line with the conference on spiritual warfare. I'm not out of the spiritual warfare. Is God is continuing. So everything we've been talking about since the time of spiritual warfare until now is still in the same vein. And when we ministered the word of God Friday night during our prayer meeting, which was more like a word time, we spent, I guess, about 45 minutes in the Word and maybe about 10 or so minutes in prayer. And I would encourage everyone to please get the message because it's fundamental and very necessary. And one of the things we talked about then was this, that all creation, all of God's creation, keeps on restating back to God what God said to them. And that is how they continue to be. Everything speaking back to God, what God said to it. And if we're going to live life to the full, we got to be restating back to God what God already said. You know what it means. It's called confession. Please play a little bit with my mic. It sounds hollow over here. Confessing, homologia, is restating back to God. Coming into agreement with God about what God said. In other words, not arguing with God, not debating what God said, just saying, let it be unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. Ultimately, the believer functioning outside of what God says or said is a position of pride and arrogance. Anything God says about you, when you argue it, you are in pride because you think God doesn't know what he said, because if he really knows, if he really knew, he will not say what he said. Come on, how can you say, I am righteous, I'm a sinner? How can you say that all my needs are already met when I'm broke? How can you say that I'm strong when I'm so beaten down and weak? And God says, that's pride. So, guess what? Unbelief is a product of pride. So when we talked about humility this morning, the key, powerful principle of humility, we were talking about coming into alignment with the will and the purposes and the word of God, what God said. What did God say? And not stepping outside of that. Stepping outside of that, whether it's an act of disbelief or unbelief or the product of God says, you can't do this. And you say, I can do all things through Christ. Yes, finish the sentence. Strengthened me. Then am I giving you strength for this? No, then why are you doing it? Well, I'm believing God for it. Faith comes by hearing. So what are you listening to that makes you think you can go do this when I did not sanction it? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. My eyes are on the Lord. My eyes are on my Father to see what He's doing, to hear what He is saying. Because if I do anything outside of what He's doing, I'm on my own. It's operating in the flesh. Well, I believe. Yeah, it is good that you believe. Well, does in the Bible say, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe? Yes, it says so. But believe what? Is your belief in the miracle or in the God who brings about the miracle? Because if your belief is in a miracle, then you're making the miracle your God. And the day that you don't get the miracle, you think God has failed. No, God has never failed at anything. God has never failed at anything. He is faithful, all-powerful, all-knowing, fully capable. And He's not an absentee God, an absentee Father. He's ever present, even in the time of trouble. He says, I'll give you, I'll give you peace. Even in your trouble. So when I'm going through a situation, I need to align myself again with God who knows all things, sees all things, understands all things, and recognize God is not surprised by what is happening right now. Tick. God loves me. Tick. God causes all things that happen in my life to work together for my good. Tick. Therefore, I must rest in the goodness of God because He's a good God. Tick, I relax. Jesus was in the boat. And a storm arose. And there was turbulence everywhere. But Jesus is busy sleeping. And the disciples are busy bailing out water. And they are fed up because the more they tried, the more water was coming to the boat. And they came down to Jesus. Don't you care? How can He be sleeping at the bottom of the boat? And the place is filled with water and the thing's about to capsize. And it's not wet. None of this makes any sense. And He just gets up and He rebukes the wind. And He declares peace to the waters. Peace be still. He arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He didn't go around bailing water. Did He know He was going to do that? Yeah? How do we know that? Because He saw the Father doing it. Did He know that they were going to be bailing water and coming and accusing Him? Of course He did. But He allowed them to go through the experience so that they can learn that He is God in spite of the storm.
He knew about the storm. Does God know about what I'm going through right now? Yes. Did God know about COVID? Absolutely. Did he know that since March, this servant, son of God, that traveled twice, three times a month somewhere in the world was going to be sitting at home? Of course he did. So he said, the September before the storm hit, there's going to be shut doors. But it's going to be an open door. I'm saying, well, I can be shut door and open door at the same time. Ah, because God opened doors that I never knew existed. I'm ministering to places that I never knew I will ever minister to. Lives have been impacted in different parts of the world that I never... I've been on television programs around the world that I never knew I would ever be in. 20, 30 years ago, God said, oh, the last days, the internet is going to be the forum through which the gospel is going to be preached. At that time, there were no videos. We had no videos, just big letters. And you couldn't even type on 8x10 or 11 paper, because everything that you typed came out with dot matrix. You try to create a banner. Oh my goodness. No pictures. And God was saying, get cameras. I'm saying, camera for what? For the internet. Internet. You want me to get cameras for the internet? God knew about it. Because he's God. And do you think for a moment that God doesn't know what you're going through? What's happening in your life? You're allowing your circumstance to overwhelm you. Thinking, I'm finished. You know that lying devil? When trouble hits, you know what people naturally do? They put their hands on their head. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? What are they doing? They're laying hands of sorrow upon themselves. The devil is such a bad devil. When your hands should be lifted up and saying, I thank God for victory, you're putting your hands on your head in sorrow and defeat. Ah, that lying devil. Why? Because we've not learned the power of humility, coming into agreement with what God says, not recognizing who he is, allowing our circumstances to determine whether our lives are going to be okay or not. I'm okay because there's no trouble. No, I'm okay in spite of the trouble. In spite of it. I will be at peace. I will be resting. Go ahead and be bailing your water over there. But I'm not going to be disturbed by that. That is what God gave to us. My peace, he says, I give unto you. Not like the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, he says. Be of good cheer. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, what if they fire me from my job? How am I going to eat? I better act in a crooked way. I better lie. I better cheat. When Mama and I were sent into this country, immigration was a serious problem. The devil didn't want us to stay in this country, but the Lord God already had spoken and sent us here. And so we had a verse. The earth
is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Period. The earth is the Lord's. When we went to immigration to give us 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, if you don't come here with some good money, we're going to haul you out of here. We'll go to immigration. They'll give us 1 week. But when it was time for God to do what God was going to do, he said, tomorrow, because he told us we're going to get deported. He said, tomorrow when you go to the immigration office, ask me to see the manager. Ask me to see the manager. I didn't even know they had a manager at immigration. So on our knees, Mama and I, at Suite 9285 Dufferin, said, Lord, tomorrow when we go to the immigration office, let us see the manager. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not in the length of the prayer. It is in align yourself with what God said to say. That's where the power is. The next day, we were there in the immigration office. At that time, it was on Carlton. By the convention center. Sitting in this room, and the place is packed. There for hours. They're not calling us. Sometime around 12 o'clock. We've been there from about 9 o'clock in the morning. I see three guys, I think it were. They were three guys, and there's this guy with a bald head. This was pre-baldness being the normal thing. Everybody gets bald now. But then being bald was noticeable. I see the man, he walks out with these other two guys. I just noticed them. Didn't know why I noticed them, but I just noticed them. About an hour later, I see the guy coming back from, you know, he walked this way out. I see him coming back, and he's coming back from this side. I'm wondering, I didn't see him come back in here. I didn't know there was another door on the outside. And he comes and he grabs a file and he mutters a name that sounded close enough to my name. He muttered that name, but it didn't matter. It was still my name. So Mom and I went and said, I think that's us. And she was, I said, yeah, that's us. And we'll follow him. And we'll follow him. And we go past all the cubicles of all those immigration offices. We go past and we turn another corner and we go into an office. This is the first time we've been back, and now there is an actual office, a real office with a real nice desk. And we sit down, and when we sat down, right there in front of us was the word manager, just like we asked the night before. The guy has been out of the system. He's not been filling out any forms. But the place is so packed, he needed to assist his workers. Ha! Hey, God. If that place wasn't packed and overflowing, we would have seen one of those other croonies over there. But because it was so packed, manager had to
do the filling out. He fills out everything. We're ready to leave. And he says, oh, by the way, how much do you have? We said, we don't have any money. Here we were. We'll come with $1,000 to the office, and they'll give us 2 weeks. Now we had no dime, not a penny. I didn't have any money with me. I didn't have any money in the bank. I didn't have any money at home. Nothing. Zero. Guy looks at me. He said, I'm not asking you how much money do you have here. I'm asking you how much money do you have at home or at the bank. I said, we don't have any money. He said, you don't have any money at all? I said, no, we don't have any money. All this time they've been, I forgot to tell you, this guy didn't know what he was doing. He was actually stepping out of the office and checking on books. we were peeping. He would check on a book, open up a book, and come back. He gives us 6 months. We'd never seen 6 months. But 6 months was too long for God. Within that 6 months, God connected us with a lawyer, or not a lawyer, a judge called Wilcox, I believe her name was. She must have been in her 60s. We went to some office off of Salter. We met her there, and she says, I'm going to help you. And she gave us a work permit. Give me a work permit. From the work permit, I started doing some silk screening. I even worked in some graveyard down off Pembina Highway, cutting grass. I even worked doing some electrical work. God help those places that I did electrical work at. Did all kinds of stuff, but this time with some kind of a permit. During that 6 months, gets a call from a church right here. They used to be right here on Church in Mackenzie. Our board, our council has voted that you be our pastor of evangelism, and you cannot even say no. God turned the story around. It started by being in agreement with just saying, let us see the manager. So, Pastor, what are you saying to her? I'm saying that God has everything in control. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. He knew about it before you were born. He knows the very beginning of your life to the end of it and before. While you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be my prophet. I know the numbers on your head, numbers of the hair on your head. I take care of the birds of the air. I know you. Someone say, God knows me. May I say something very simple but yet profound? God is love, and God will not unbe, that's a new word, unbe himself. Hallelujah. God is not going to unbe himself to hate you, not to bring about his purposes for your life. Unbe himself to leave you and forsake you when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When the devil terrorizes you, remind him of this. I have a God who will never fail. I have a God who will never fail. I have a God who will never fail. Who will never fail? Who will never fail forevermore? I don't know what you're doing, but this one thing I do know, that my God will not fail me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not going to start failing today. Because when God fails, if God ever fails, everything else will fail. And God is not going to cease to be himself because of me, because of you, because of anyone else. He remains steadfast. So humility teaches us to remember that God is faithful. Pride, arrogance, engineer the mindset that makes you think that God is changeable. That God is flawed. That God sometimes can blow it. No, he doesn't. He's faithful. In Proverbs chapter 22, taking it from verse 2. We're still on the same subject. Don't lose me. It says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Rich and poor. The Lord is the maker of them all. Not that God made them rich or God made them poor, but the rich and the poor, they're all God's kids. Verse 3, a prudent man, a wise, prudent man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The wise man hides himself from evil. This is the word of God. So if you think, I'm a man of faith, so nothing bad can ever happen to me, I will admonish you that God himself said to a man called Joseph and to a woman called Mary, take the kid, take off. Go to Egypt until I tell you to come back. You mean God couldn't have stayed right there with them in Bethlehem? And when Herod and his military forces are coming, just wipe them all off? Of course he could. But God is trying to teach us something. Sometimes, pack your load. Pack yourself over there. And when they come over there, run to the other place. And when they come over, run over there. He says, you're not finished running around. until I come back. Is that what he said? Sometimes running away is not an act of faithlessness. It's an act of agreeing with what the Word of God says. When I was in India, I remember the Lord saying to me, "Hey, don't go to that crusade ground today." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because those Hindus are coming to kill you. So get out. Get out of town." So I told my guest, my host, I said, "I'm not coming to the crusade ground today." He said, "But the people are waiting for you. God is using you mightily. What am I going to do?" I said, "You're going to preach. You're a preacher, aren't you? You let me, I'm going," I said, "you, why aren't you going to the crusade ground?" I said, "The Lord said, leave town." He said, "Why did the Lord say that?" I said, "Because the Hindus are coming to look for me, to look and to kill me. Because miracles are happening, unexplainable things are happening, and Hindus are there, the people falling down on my feet, trying to worship me. And I'm fighting to raise people up. Hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. I didn't do any of this. God did this for you." And now the news is spreading all over Orissa. So I had to leave town. One of our church members in Toronto, his father told him the story. He attends the church now. Told him the story and said, "This man of God came to Orissa and shook the place up. I didn't do nothing. God did it. But when God said, leave town, I left town." Hallelujah. A few months later, there were missionaries that were beheaded. And my host calls me and says, "You're a real man of God." I said, "When did you find that fact out?" when did you recognize that I'm a man of God?" He said, "Man, brother, they killed some missionaries over here. They just killed them." He said, "Good thing you didn't come." I said, "Praise the Lord. Thank God for grace." But the simple pass on and are punished. When God tells you, leave town, leave town. When God says, move, move. Don't become arrogant, thinking, "Well, the angels are going to take charge and help me. They're going to hide me. I'm going to be an invisible man. Or I'm going to be Superman." No, no. Leave. That's why he told you to leave. Verse 4. Watch this. This is important. It says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord." By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Oh, no, no, no. By hard work and by making connections are you going to be rich, have honor and life. And God said, "No. I said, by humility." By what humility? By you listening to me, I'm following my instructions. If you follow me, I will give you power to get wealth. By humility and the fear, the reverence of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Verse 5. Watch this. Thorns and snares are in the way of the what? The froward. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Stay away from arrogant people. They receive the curse of thorns and thistles and snares. Verse 6, he says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it." didn't say that he will never. He says when he's old, he will not depart from it. You keep on putting the seed of the word of God into that child, and you believe what the word of God says. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And you never stop believing that that child is going to align himself with God. This last conference, we honored the man of God with what God had laid on our hearts to give, but for every conference, we're supposed to, the mandate is to sow a seed, a significant seed, into something, whether it is into Israel, whether it's in digging wells, dealing with issues of prostitution and sexual traffic or whatever, we've sown in all kinds of places. But this time, I wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. I'm thinking, God, you want something to go out, where do you want it? And where did it go? It went to a young man, a young ministry, a man that Mama and I met in Dubai. I had been invited, called on to do a wedding in Dubai a few years ago by a daughter of a mighty man of God and mighty woman of God, one of the largest ministries in the Congo. They asked very specifically, and I said, how is it that I'm the one being called? You have a lot of patrons and, you know, people that you know. Why are you calling me? And says, no, this sister of ours said, of all the men of God, they want you to do their wedding. So Mama and I went to Dubai to do this wedding. And there we met this young man. And he begins to tell us the story of his life. He's a son of another man of God. And he lived a terrible, terrible worldly life. He was way out there in the boonies, just acting like the devil, doing everything that a child of God, the son of a pastor, should not do. He was doing all of it. And now God, because the word of God was implanted in his heart, God put a hook on him and pulled him back into order. And he was telling us about this, and we ministered to him and spoke the strength of God into him. And he goes back and he starts a youth ministry as a musician. And he had the weirdest name for our church. This just imagine this name, Club X. International. That's the name of his ministry. Club X. So what kind of a name is this? But they are exploding in growth. And so they have this explosion in growth, and they are growing where they are. And it's a youth ministry. All youth, they don't have money. And now they need to get into another building, or else the whole thing is going to start falling apart, because where they are, the people don't want them there anymore. It's too much. And it pops up. And the Lord says, this is why I didn't tell you anything. This is where the money goes to. And so we dispatched that fund straight to there. Why did I tell that story? Because this young man used to be of the world, but now he is in the kingdom, and he is moving in the power of God, and he is creating havoc. Hallelujah to the kingdom of darkness.
Praise the Lord. And we are spiritual papa and mama to this young ministry that is just moving by the anointing of God. Anyway, we're getting them to change that crazy name. You know, getting it more in line with what it should be like. Hallelujah. It's why we need fathers and mothers to stand with us and help us. Let me go further real quick. Get me back the passage of Scripture. He says, he will not depart from it. Verse 7. Watch this. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is his servant to the lender. That's a key factor that tells me I need not be in that trap. I must not be the poor that is ruled over. And I'm not going to be the borrower that is servant to the lender. God, get me out of debt. Amen? God, get us out of debt. Because that's not a good place to be. And the word of God goes on and says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. What is this bountiful eye? The bountiful eye, I want to get things done. He says, that person giveth of his bread to the poor. Verse 10, watch this. I like this. Cast out the scorner. What does it say? Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. If there's a scorner, he says, cast him out. Because if you don't, strife is going to stay in your environment. He says, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. When this corner is cast out, the Lord says we should love everybody. And it's really hard for me to do this. God says, cast out this corner. You want peace in there? Find the troublemaker, whoever it is that is scorning, and throw him out. Then peace will come. Hello? To go against that is not to be humble, thinking that you can solve a problem when God says, get rid of it. Do you get the point? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me do one or two more things. Get me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 through 15. Proverbs 18. Watch this. The word of God says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. It's arrogant. And before honor is humility. You want honor in your life? Humble yourself. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Listen. God says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. You've not heard the real situation. You already jump into conclusion. Says you're a fool. And you're going to be ashamed. How many times we jump on and make conclusion, decide, I think I know. Well, he was looking this way, so it must be this. You don't know. Slow down. Investigate the matter.
then make a clear decision. Never make a decision based on what one person said. Hello? Please. Well, I trust him. I trust him. So I believe him. Okay? Good. Have you heard the other side of the story? No, I don't need to hear the other side of the story. Because I believe my friend. That will get you into trouble. Sheol said, I heard you. Let me get back to you. Let me hear the other side of the story. Why do you need to hear the other story? The word of God says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I don't want to be a fool. And I don't want shame. Because, you see, the man was naked and what? Ashamed. I am not going to expose myself to pain. I'm going to try to get the full understanding of the matter and then make a decision. How many times have I been saved? From making the wrong decision because I only heard one side of the story. And when I finally heard the other side of the story, I had a better understanding on what happened and how to best handle the situation. Never finish the whole thing without getting both sides of the story. You only know a part of it. So when somebody comes and tells me something, I start asking, sometimes you might think, whose side are you on? I just told you this. Now you're asking me all these hard questions. Why are you asking me all these hard questions? Well, because I want to know the other side of the story, and I'm going to ask you that question backwards and forwards, up and down. And if your answer is not consistent, I say, there's a story here. Let's go. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That's what the word of God says. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? If your spirit is wounded, you don't have the capacity to go through those infirm situations. So, the word of God says you need to protect your spirit, possess your soul. Hallelujah. Verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 15. And I'll wrap up here. Proverbs 15, verse 31 through 33. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The ears that hear, verse 31 again, the reproof of life, hears truth, abides among the wise. To contravene that is to be proud. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. To think that blessings are going to come into your life without you being a giver, that is arrogance. If the word of God says something and you're doing the opposite, that is arrogance. There are people in church who will not honor God with their tithe. They will not honor God with their offerings. They come and they tip God. And they want an open heaven over their lives. And they want God to rebuke the devourer for their sakes. What kind of a lie are you living? God bless me. Oh God, bless me. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. Are you a giver? Well, God knows that I'm really struggling. I'm doing the best that I can. He's not asking you to do the best that you can. He says, honor God, and He in turn will honor you. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Wow. You refuse instruction, you despise your own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. In all of your getting, get understanding. How do you get it? You hear reproof. I don't want nobody telling me nothing. Keep your words to your own self. But you want understanding. Because it's in reproof. There's got to be somebody who's helping to sharpen you. You hang around fools. Don't expect to be wise. Even if you're the wisest of the fools, you're still a fool. Let me wrap it up with the next verse. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? We heard it again. Before honor is humility. So what is the honor? And what's the humility? It says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Your humility is connected to your fear of the Lord. And the instruction of wisdom is what is going to release honor to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is that what the Word of God says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say it's the end of wisdom. It says it's the beginning. You're just in grade one, in kindergarten, nursery. That you have reverence from God, reverence for Him. It says that's the beginning. That's a good start. Now I'm going to start giving you instructions, step by step by step. And humility says, I have a whole lot to learn. And as God instructs me, I will follow. I will follow. There are things that God may allow you to do yesterday. And when you come to today, He says, you can't do that anymore. So, but it was okay yesterday, but today is today. Yesterday was yesterday. When you were a kid, I dealt with you like that. But now you're grown. It is one thing for my grandkid to be playing with his toys and say, Yakato, hey, what are you doing? What are you? I'm playing. What's happening with you? Oh, it's cute. When he's 2 years old, but now that he's 40 and he's going, hey, 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 hey. Something's wrong with you. Get this one to that rubber room because something's wrong. We grow up. Hello? We what? Grow up. What was okay yesterday is not okay today. Might have been perfectly all right. Fill in your diapers. When you were 6 months, but now you are an 8-year-old child. No more diapers. Because at 8 and you're still filling diapers, You got a problem. You're sick. You need treatment. Is that okay? Same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. God expects us to grow up. And I end with those words, or with that thought pattern, because humbling ourselves in the sight of God and coming to agreement with God is not static. It isn't static. What I agreed with God yesterday was yesterday. When I come to today, He expects something more from me because He's growing and grooming me. We must keep on growing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's it for this evening. And I thank God for the privilege of ministering the word of faith and grace to and with you. Bow your heads with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are sovereign over our lives. And Lord, O God, we have received your word. And we ask, O God, even now that you'll help us to align ourselves in true humility, in agreement, in obedience of instruction, in our dealings, O God, to that everlasting word. And Lord, O God, daily we ask that you'll help us systematically grow in the things of your Spirit, to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your authority. We repent, O God, of every act of foolishness, everything that generates shame, everything, O God, that contravenes your purposes for our lives. And Lord, O God, in repentance, we align ourselves afresh to you, to your purpose, to your will. Your word says, a good name is better than riches. Lord, O God, let us, O God, experience wealth and riches because we have a good name in your accounts, not only before you, but before men. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, for your assistance, for your help, for your ability. For without you, we can do nothing. Help us be who you say we can be. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you. I thank God for his faithfulness in our lives as his people. At this time, I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving. And as you honor God, God says that he's not going to be indebted to you, nor to me. We cannot outgive God. But we do believe that he is a God who multiplies our seed sown. Amen? And the God who will help us have barns that are greatly enlarged. God will cause you and I to be conduits through which his blessings will flow forth and touch lives, locally and globally, that our voice will be heard in all the earth, as we exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. Come, honor God with your giving. And while you're doing so, I want to remind you that in just a few days from now, 18 more days from now, we will be having a very special conference. And starting on the 19th through the 21st, it's captioned that in God there is a lifting up. We have a video to show to you regarding that. And as you watch this video, we want you to share it. Like and share it. Let others participate, no matter where they are in the world, in this conference as it's coming, because we all need that lifting up from the Lord. Amen? Let's have the video.
No matter what has happened in your past, your story is not finalized. Don't quit or give up. God remains faithful and He has the final say. There is a lifting up in God. Now is your time, your turn for your lifting to higher ground, your change of status. Get connected to your God destiny. August 19th to the 21st, 6:30 p.m. daily.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say anything about that. Amen. Well, bless you. Remember, there are no Bible studies on Wednesdays for the rest of the month. That also includes no Bible study for leadership on this Wednesday. But this first Friday is going to be a prayer meeting for our leaders, because prayer meetings remain the same. So it's going to be the leadership prayer meeting. So if you're not in leadership, you're not required to be part of the service this Friday. Just our leaders are going to be here for our time of intercession. However, those of you that are online, there will be a broadcast for you so you can have your own time of connecting. But for our leaders, because of the different other issues that we may be addressing, we'll be here this Friday. All right? So if you are not part of the leadership and you try to show up, somebody's going to turn you back. And if they turn you back, that will be on you, because you did not align yourself with the instruction. Hello. But every leader needs to be here. Amen. If you're serving in a particular capacity, in any particular capacity in the church, you should be here this Friday. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And we look forward to seeing our leaders on Friday and the rest of you online. And of course, next Sunday after that will be our regular service time. Good night. We love you. And we celebrate you and honor you in the Lord. Now, I will speak to those that are on the Zoom platform.